busy, incredible weekend we've been having. You guys are going to get to hear a lot about that today, and I'm excited to share with it. I see all the red shirts there, and that's super cool. I am frying up. That song is so fast there. It's like, on the guitar, so I'm all sweaty. But anyhow, glad to see everybody here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go ahead and get, I think we're supposed to do the Apostles' Creed now. I'm not sure here. Yeah. Maybe, but we're going to do it anyways. So, we like to declare what we believe here at Idaho City. It's good to remember. It's good to remind ourselves. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now, and then we'll continue on. So stay with me here. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You guys may be seated. Over here, I just want to bring to your attention again. This is Idaho City Christian Center. My name is Pastor Ken. I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Jason is sitting out here. He's going to be coming up here in a little bit. Pastor Mark, our senior pastor, had to leave town up to Seattle unexpectedly, so he won't be with us this morning, but he is in our prayers, and we're glad he is doing well. We have the prayer cross here. In the back of your seats, you'll see cards. You can fill them out. And anytime during the service, you can come on over here, place them on the cross. We have a prayer team that prays over those requests. Also, you know, you don't just have to do a card. You know, we are real people. You know, you can come to any one of us. Up here, we have our team that comes forward. There'll be a time where we let you guys, or we call you forward to pray. And we can actually really pray with you right then and there. So that's kind of a cool thing we get to do as the body of Christ. So right now, let's pray together. Offering will be a little bit later. There, so don't fret. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that your people are here. Gathered, Lord, just lift up your name and worship you. God, I just pray that you would be glorified in everything that we do today. God, that people would see a glimpse of your glory. And as they see you, would be drawn irresistibly to you in worship. God, we love you. Be with us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God's people said,
amen.
We're going to continue in worship. So, you guys would like to stand again. You can't. If you don't want to stand, because who likes all the ups and downs? Ups and downs, ups and downs. It's a good workout sometimes, but don't feel that you have to. This is how I fight my battles.
Thank you.
Morning, this is already shaping up to be. How great is your name above all the earth?
Amen.
You are my first love, my greatest joy. I stand here in awe of you and everything that you are.
Amen.
I stand in awe having been ministered to by this congregation. God, sometimes there's just not words. changes everything. In the light of you, everything that we see around us is easy to endure, easy to get through, easy to keep pressing forward because you are that much bigger,
amen,
that much greater. How blessed we are to know you and have this hope as an anchor for our souls. God, I pray that you would help us, each one of us here, be a beacon, be a tool, be used to change the world, starting right here. You're moving. We see you moving. We feel you moving.
This morning. You'll notice I don't have anything in my hands, and neither do you, because there was no bulletins this morning. And we'll blame that on Pastor Mark. He was supposed to get all that done, and he didn't. And we just said, oh, we don't know how to do that. You know, and so you don't have bulletins in front of you, but I do need you to know that next Wednesday, there is no services here. This coming Wednesday, I should say. The 30th, I think it is. There's no services. There is high school graduation here in town, and so we just say we're not going to have any kids stuff, we're not going to have any adult stuff, so that people who want to can go to the graduation. It's a big deal for some people. I don't know. Noah, Aletha. Woohoo! And then the following Wednesday I want you to know about, and that's June 5th. Just tuck it in your brains. Mark it on your calendar. We're going to be doing something special in the park for Wednesday night services. We're going to have some food, barbecue, music, and we're going to have a blast to kind of kick off summer on June 5th. So that is all I have.
Yay!
Yes, clap for her, not for me. Yeah. Off what she said on graduation, this is graduation week, and you as a congregation, I want you to think about these graduates that I'm going to have come up here in a few minutes, and I have a gift for them, but I want you to think about them especially this week, because I want you praying for them. And you graduates sitting in here that you will be coming up here in just a second, I'm giving you fair warning, okay? I want to put life in perspective for you, just briefly. This isn't going to be a big sermon, okay? Just briefly. So I have a story. I've told it before, but I'm going to say it again because I think it helps put graduation in perspective for us as a congregation so that we can keep in mind what they have going for, you know, what their future is going to be like. If you can remember what you went through. After graduation, what life throws at them, right? But to put in perspective for you, I got a little story. I was in judo. My dad got us in judo when I was in when I'm about 7 years old. And me and my brothers all did judo together. We worked really hard for our black belts. That's what we wanted. That was the goal, was black belts, right? And when I finally got my black belt, I thought I had achieved everything, right? And I went up to my instructor, and he said, Jason, come on up. And in front of the whole class, he says, now, and he gave me a black belt. He says, now you have become a student of judo. And I'm like, what? I know I was a student before this. You know, in my mind, I'm going, what? And I really didn't understand it till later. But I'm hoping to put that understanding in you guys now. So you have kind of received your black belt. you have received your graduation certificate here soon, right? This Wednesday? And you think that you may have achieved all there is to achieve. But really, you have achieved something great and something amazing. But it's now. It's now that you are a student of life. It's now that you have the skills and abilities and training and love from your families and friends to use what you have learned and become a student. Again. Because life has just begun. And now you have the tools to do it. And you have the support. Don't forget, you have the support at home. Always. And you as a congregation, you know what's coming against them soon when they leave that high school. And here in the next maybe few years, their homes. Or sooner maybe than a few years, their homes. And life gets thrown at them, doesn't it? It does, and it's real. It's real. What's interesting, too, is these three people I'm going to call up also have a new perspective on life, not just their education and their families and everything behind them, but they have Jesus. And it's funny how we become a student of reality and life in and of itself when we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We were once blind, right? Totally blind. And now we see. We see what's true. We claim Him as Lord. We claim Him as Savior. Don't we? And perspective on life is all about Him. He's our goal. He's our reward. Right? And it's amazing how things have come together with this certificate that you're going to have in your hot little hands here soon. Right? And then Jesus in your heart to tackle this world. So, I have a gift for you. I'm going to call the high school graduates up here first, and I'm going to give you a boring book. You guys know what these look like? Have you ever flipped one open and read one before?
Yeah.
Well, you will read more. Just wait till college. Just wait. Oh boy, just wait. So you have to read it before you get into college because you won't read it. So the first graduate, if I can have you come up, and everybody please give them a big hand as they come up, is Aletha Fairbanks. Come on up here. Here's your book. Give me a hug. Man, this girl, I have known since she was like this big. And many of you can attest to the same thing. So we have watched her grow into a woman of God. So we gave you this book. It's Max Lucado, Grace. Right? Because grace, we have been saved through faith in Jesus. And man, I can't give you a better book. And think of a better book other than the Bible to give you. So, because I know you have a Bible already, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, and a little gift in there for you, too. So, yeah, you're welcome. You're awesome. For this next book, other than the Bible, this is my favorite book. I have gone through it 3 times. And I have already given Aletha one, but I don't think I've given Noah Howard one yet. Woo! Noah, please come on here. You have no idea how awesome this book is. No idea. You have to read this, Noah. You have to. Okay. Noah went through a ceremony this week. And he is a man of God. So he is not a child anymore. It's a big step for him. So he was given a shield and a sword. And we had a little party for him. Yeah, give him a hand. So again, this is one of my favorite books. You can read it all the way through straight. It talks about everything from truth and the existence, does it exist, to why Christianity is the only way, and Jesus, that there actually is evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. So it goes from does truth exist to Jesus rising from the dead. Awesome, awesome book. And of course, a little gift in there for you too. So here, give me a hug. The next one is a college graduate. So I don't know, is that like a second degree black belt in judo? I'm not really sure. But she is amazing. You've seen her up here this singing and worshiping God and leading you into worship. Michaela Coleman. Can you... Where is she? Oh no. We gotta go get her because she has a little speech for you. Okay. So I'm giving her this book. This is a brand new book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Miracles. If I'm an evidence guy. I like evidence. When I came to faith, God did miraculous things in me. My whole life changed. Like I said, I went from being blind and not knowing what life was about to realizing who Jesus was. And so later on in life, you know, I always wanted to become a cop. And so now I'm 16 years into it, and evidence was a big thing for me in the field, right? So as I walked through my Christian faith, I see just how much evidence there is that points to the God we believe in. And you can kind of go look at Christianity backwards or forwards. In other words, you can become a Christian by the miraculous things that God does in your life. Just like, wow, he saved me. He's made me. He saved me. I'm his, and I'll claim him as my own. And you can also go the other way. You can go, you know what? I don't know if he exists or not, or if he's real or not. I'm just going to look at life in the eye and kind of examine what's real, what's out there, and see where it leads. And it's amazing. It leads straight to the God of the Bible. It leads straight to Jesus Christ. It leads straight to his cross and his resurrection and where you're at today. Both ways works. So this book I'm going to give her, and since she's not up here yet, I'm going to keep talking. So this book I'm going to give her, it's Lee Strobel's The Case for Miracles. I think it fits where she's at right now, and it's his latest book, so I think it's awesome. And of course, a little gift in here, and maybe she isn't coming up. So, see, oh wait, I see a shadow. Okay, well,
it was a good try.
It was a good try. So anyway, she's getting this book and a card and an inscription in here for her, so we'll leave this right here. So, now, if we could have, I think we're dismissing the kids. Yeah. So I have something special for you kids. If you are fourth grade and above, you have the option to stay in the service if you ask your parents. Okay? Fourth grade and above, you have the option to stay because in a minute here, the Philippines mission trip is going to be up here and showing you a video and talking about their trip, and I don't want you to miss it. And some of you children, when you express to me that you are interested in seeing what has been happening around the world and in the community, I want to feed those little hearts and minds to what's really going on. So you're allowed to stay if you want to, okay? All the other kids, so third grade and below, please come on up. Or anybody else that wants to go downstairs, you can go downstairs too. If you're not an adult. And then we're going to get into offering here soon. Let's pray together for these kids. God, thank you so much for these little hearts and minds, that you created them for you, and that you love them so much that you would die for them too. God, help them understand your truth downstairs. Meet them at their level. Help their teachers teach. Help the words come out of their mouth to reach deep into their lives and change them. God, for your glory, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you guys can head downstairs. So we're going to do a special tithe today. The first tithe is for your tithes and offerings, okay? The second tithe isn't because you haven't given enough, but we have a family in this community that has suffered a horrible loss of their mom. So if some of you know Jesse, little Jesse, he comes to Royal Rangers, cute little kid, he lost his mom this week. And so we need to keep them in our hearts and our prayers. And if you see them in the community, reach out to them, love them where they're at. So if you can help them out, that's great. So the second offering is for Steve and little Jesse Romero and his family. So if you can, I'm talking more, so if you're thinking things through, you can put that in that second offering for them. Also, throughout the next couple weeks, sometimes you need to talk with your significant other, you know, or look through your finances. Please feel free to help them out as you can. So, Tim, would you lead us in a prayer for offering?
Father, we know in our minds that everything we have comes from you. Help us understand in our hearts the absolute necessity of trusting you. We ask you to bless what we give back to you, Lord, this morning, that it will accomplish your desires and your plans in our lives and in this community. Bless it in your name. Amen.
Now we got a video for the Philippines, and then we're going to have Carol come up and share.
Video's after.
Everybody that helped out with this. There is no way that I could do this dog carnival for the Maiden's Hope program without all the support from this congregation. We had just a fabulous team of people, people that helped out before the event that didn't come to the event but helped with loading up the vans and the trucks and all this stuff with tables and coffee pots and baskets and water cans and all kinds of other stuff that we need to do the event. We had young people helping out, we had music, we had middle-aged, we had retirees, we had everybody of all ages helping, and it was just fabulous to see you guys all coming together, and I just so appreciate that. But one of the things I wanted to also mention is that it may seem like, why are we doing a dog carnival? What does that have to do with God? And I wanted to let you guys know that throughout the event, we had the opportunity to reach out to people. A lot of our volunteers were from town. There are business acquaintances and friends that I have from the neighborhood and that, many of whom are not Christians. They got to be a part and see Christians in action. They got to be a part of when we were praying together and see how we operate in the community. And I think that's really important. One of the other things that was important is that we had people that were just talking to the people that were there, out talking to the people with their dogs and just communicating why we were there, what we were doing. And one of those people that I had the opportunity to talk to came up to me and was, first thing she said to me is, wow, you went in a purple aura. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's good or bad. she was very interested in what we were doing and the organization and all that. And then she really caught me off guard because she said, obviously you're a Christian. What does that mean to you? I was like, okay. And I just was able to share the gospel with her and tell her exactly what that does mean to me. But after she walked away, I thought, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity that in all this chaos of getting this event up and going and all the people coming and going, that you gave me the opportunity to share with this lost soul.
Amen.
What's really important. So when you wonder why we're doing a dog carnival, it's not really about the dogs, and it's not even about the fundraising. It just is a way that we are, a tool that we're using to share the gospel here in Boise and in Idaho City, and also in the Philippines with the money that is raised. So thank you all for being a part of that. We sent six people off to the Philippines for the Maiden's Head mission trip. Sadly, I was not allowed to go, but Tom was able to fill in for me, and I appreciate that. We did have one other member of the team who's from Ohio, and he joined them in Seattle and went on the trip. So I'm going to let them share with you how God was a part of their life in the Philippines.
It's really sad their living conditions, but seeing how happy they are and how all the people would come to church every Sunday for two church services. We had one in the morning and then one in the afternoon, and it just touched me just seeing how happy they were. And yeah.
You know, I had obviously in experience like this is takes you out of your everyday life and even out of your native culture and drops you in a culture that's considerably different, but with the same faith, believing the same God. And it really is overwhelming, the change that you go through. There's so many things I could share out of the trip, but there are just a few that personally I witnessed. And one was watching Trinity sitting out on the sidewalk of this little street in this little part of the village, sitting with three of the Maiden Hope girls, which Maiden's Hope has now been open 1 year, thanks to all of what you've done. And these girls who came out of the worst situations you can imagine into the house and into a relationship with God and pursuing an education. And I watched her sitting on the sidewalk singing with these three girls, switching between English and Tagalog and just sitting out on the sidewalk. And then they have a practice at the church there of gathering huge circle, as big as the church is, in chairs, and they just sing whatever song somebody wants to sing, much like we do on the Friday night thing that Ken puts on here. And at one moment, Sila just starts to sing a solo, and she hardly looks up at all. She just sings from some place deep inside. I got to witness that, and it was overwhelming. And we went into the villages, we went into some of the poorest areas that you can imagine. It's hard to even describe. And at one point, we're in a little hut, and not we, Pam is in a little hut with a 75-year-old lady. It's dark, it's hot, she's probably just barely hanging on to life. And she prays for and with this lady. And it was an honor for me to fill in for Carol and to be a part of that and seeing that happen. And the last one that I again was just lucky enough to see is they put cots out in the church for us to sleep on. They really went to great effort to make us as welcome as we could be. And I look over and laying on this cot is Aletha with a little guy named Chase, just a little Filipino boy. And she's laying on that cot with him, loving him. He's loving her back. You know, there's no way they're communicating verbally, but it was something. And then two other things that I just wanted to share, and then I'll pass the mic over, is the previous year's team, which many of you went on, one of the things Carol has us do is hand out these small little plastic crosses, the varying colors, and when we're doing vacation Bible school out there in the villages. And we go to do our first vacation Bible school in a little place called Paradise Village, which the team the year before had gone to as well. And this little boy comes up to me, maybe nine, to show me this plastic cross, right, that he has, which had to have come from one of you the year before. So to see him showing me that, because I had mine on, and he wanted to show me his. And I just got to thinking about the seed planting, and you do these things, and you're never there to know how things evolve, but one of you, somebody, gave that little guy that cross. And he's still in this poor, poor little village. But it's a treasure, and he's still got it. And the other thing was to see the progression of the girls and the Maiden's Hope girls. So we're in, you know, Maiden's Hope is the house next to the church. And the church is where, you know, we do all the singing and we stay. Maiden's Hope is our own little separate project, you know, Idaho City Christian Center. And to see these girls 1 year after the team opened the building, opened the facility, put in all that stuff, the house mom picked the girls. To see these girls 1 year later, the change, to see them singing in church, to see them sitting with Trinity, one of them playing the guitar, to see them showing me their certificates, the grades they got through that year, and to know their future is radically different than it was 1 year ago. It was rewarding, and I wanted to share that with you because you guys donate the money. You guys went on the trip to make the place from a space that some lady was renting. So in fact, she was so impressed. It's a little three-story building. She gave us the top two stories for the price of one, right? So we were there as our team. We added the beds for the second floor. We're expanding. We're adding five more girls. And it's the proceeds from the dog kennel, the 5K run, the silent auction, all the stuff that this church in Idaho City is able to do nearly on the other side of the world. So there's a few things, but I'll pass off to Pam.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pamela. Where to start? There's so many things to talk about. But as many of you know, Trinity went on this mission trip last year, and she came back, and I could tell that it had made such an impression on her. So when it came time to sign up again this year, she signed up, and then shortly thereafter, Sila also signed up. And before I knew it, Carol had called me and said, you know, it would be great if you could go too. And got to thinking, you know what, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to spend this quality time with my daughters and have this kind of an experience, so I decided to go. That and as a child, I grew up in a city where I had a lot of interaction with Filipinos, so the opportunity to go to the Philippines just really spoke to me, so there was that piece of it as well. While we were there for our 8 days, or 8 full days, we did a number of different ministries, but at the same time, there were times when we weren't out and about, but I felt like there was never a wasted moment. Even in those few hours, sometimes when we were just at the church, lounging around, I had opportunities to just spend time with the Maiden's Hope girls and really feel like I developed a relationship with a number of them to the point where they started calling me Mommy Pamela, which is just touching. So it's amazing how appreciative they all are. There were so many times through the week when they just looked at us and said, thank you, or you could just tell how much this matters to them. During one of the days, we went out and distributed food to some people. The area we were in was near a bridge, and some of those people actually live under a bridge in a very poor situation. Oftentimes, they're just wading through water to get to wherever they need to go. That's their home. And we were passing out some food, gave some food to an older woman, and a few minutes later, another lady came out and offered us some mangoes and just handed us mangoes. We hadn't given her anything, but she felt it on her heart that she wanted to give us something back because she appreciated what we were doing. So needless to say, we did bless her with some food as well, but that was something that I will remember. Also, when we did our VBS at the two different places, we spoke to the pastor about what we wanted to do, and he called the teens and different people in the church and said, you know what, this is what we need to do. We need someone to do this. We need someone to translate here, someone here. The kids just stepped forward and did it. There was no complaints. They were enthusiastic. They put their all into it, and it was pretty incredible to see how it all came together, and watching some of the kids performing, doing a skit, and over the course of the 8 times we performed it was just amazing to see it by the end. It was awesome. I'm sorry, I'm kind of monopolizing here. There were just so many layers. The people of the Philippines themselves just seemed so happy to see us, appreciative and grateful. The Goomba family, which is the pastor's family, they're just incredible people. So Christ-centered, and they just exude love. The minute we walked in the door, I felt welcomed. And then, of course, I already mentioned the Maiden's Hope girls themselves. I really appreciated getting a chance to know them and getting to meet a few of the ones that we were recruiting. Even in the few days that they had spent with us while we were there, I felt like you could see a difference in them and in their outlook. And then lastly, since I've been back, I was contacted by an acquaintance who's going through some health problems, but because I had gone on this mission trip, she felt like she could reach out to me and ask me some questions or just confide in me about some of her struggles right now, and I feel like that's God's already opening doors for me to be able to witness to people here at home through this experience. So that also is great. I'm very grateful for.
Hi, I'm Trinity. So I went on this last year, and it definitely changed me. And again, I already feel changed by going on it another year. And there's just so much I could talk about. But I'm just going to hit the main points. So I felt God a lot on this trip, as always. Going to the Philippines, just like how filled with God they are and filled with the Holy Spirit and just how godly of people they are, it's incredible and nothing like I've seen before. And so the Holy Spirit definitely moved me again through using one of these bracelets to tell the gospel to kids again at the basketball court, and it was just amazing. The kids always are really eye-opened by it, and I just was telling one kid about it, and then a huge group of kids surrounded this one girl again and were just in awe over it, and I was able to witness them, which was really cool. Another way God used me was there was these little kids when they were doing the basketball ministry, and they just like were hanging around the basketball court, and we had a bunch of things they could do, but some of them didn't really want to do those things. And so I ended up just like playing with them, hugging them, giving them piggyback rides, playing this like silly hand game they have in the Philippines. And they really impacted me and just hanging out with these kids who were grateful for just like a piece of candy or just getting a hug. It was amazing. And there was this one little boy who the entire time, he didn't smile or anything. And there was a bunch of other kids, and then like whenever the other kids wanted to be held or wanted to play with me, and then this kid would just like step back and wait and be patient and let the other kids play with me, and then after they were done, he'd just come and then he'd just want hugs and for me to hold him and stuff. And still he wouldn't smile, but he was so nice to the other kids and would let them play with me as long as he, and he'd just wait there. But it just, how he didn't smile, but how grateful he was for the little he got, it really impacted me. And then I felt moved to just give these kids food after we had food. And I wasn't even hungry at the time, and these were just hungry kids surrounding me, so I felt like, why not just give them food? And that little boy again, he let all the other kids eat, and he didn't eat. And that little boy has been on my heart since we've gotten back, and it's just incredible to me that he was starving, yet he let all these other kids have everything. And the Holy Spirit was definitely there with me through that, because without God, I wouldn't have been able to love on these kids and witness to them as much as I did. Another thing was we were handing out the food bags, which we did last year, to families that needed food. And when I was with this one group, and we didn't really stop to pray the whole time, which is what we were supposed to be doing. And so then I was like, guys, why aren't we praying with these people? We're supposed to be giving them the food and praying for them. And they were like, oh, I don't know, we're just giving them the food. And so I think the Holy Spirit was with me there, because I was like, okay, well, we need to stop and pray. And then so we started stopping and praying with the families afterwards, which was needed. Another thing is worshiping with the Filipinos. Every time just they break out in random worship, it's just incredible to be there and to just sing with them. They're extremely good at singing as it is, but it's incredible to see how filled with God and how they just surrender themselves to God and just worship, and you can just tell that they are just in for God, and it's amazing to be there and see. And then lastly, I was able to tell the story of Noah's Ark to a bunch of kids at the VBS we did for one of the days, and I'm not that great at like public speaking, and so God was definitely there with me and helped me to witness them and tell it, and changed the kids' lives. And yeah.
So much, I don't even know what to say anymore. Okay. I guess like one of the big things is like right when you get there, you're just kind of welcomed into this family, and that it's not like not just the Goomba family, but the whole church family, the whole community. It's just an entire family. And now I just feel like I have another family all the way on the other side of the world. And I can't wait to go back. Another thing is they are always singing and worshiping God. Just like all the time, like everywhere we went, almost there was a guitar somewhere. Like they had this guitar and they would bring it, and just randomly they'd just start playing and worshiping, and it was amazing. Like that probably had like such a big impact on me, especially because music is just such a big thing in my life, and that's how I usually express myself. And so just seeing all these people worshiping that way all the time was amazing. Also, just I brought yarn to do something called finger knitting, and it was just, I wasn't able to speak the language or talk very, speak with them very easily, but
just being able to show them and overcome that language barrier and love on them and just give them that one-on-one time was just such a great opportunity. And then even when I wasn't doing that in particular, just going out and finding different ways to interact with them and show them that I cared and wanted to give them their my time and attention, I felt like that made an impact. The other thing was when we went to go distribute food and pray with families. I'm not a very outspoken person, and I didn't realize that I was going to be taken in a little group, and I was going to be the one praying. And there was none of these guys with me. It was just me and two Filipinos, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was definitely with me there, because I don't even know how I was able to say the things I did, but I was able to speak with those people and pray for them and hear their prayer requests, and it was amazing. Just their prayer requests were just so simple, just basic things like blessing their family, asking for good health, a good life, long life, just very basic needs that everyone would want, and I was just touched to be able to give them what little we brought and pray for them.
We do have a short video that'll give you some viewpoint of what they witnessed and what they were a part of. You'll see from the video that they were very busy. Vacation Bible School and food distribution and basketball camps and time with the kids. There's just a whole variety of things. They were not sitting around idly hanging out. But before I put the video on, would you guys all say you had an experience with God?
Yes.
Thank you guys for supporting them and giving them that experience with God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carol, and thank you to all you guys. You guys are, like Carol said, it's because of you guys that they're able to do this and go. We said it yesterday, actually, at the dog carnival. We're talking about it, and we kept telling people, all this is because of you guys. None of it would be possible without it. And above all that, all this is because God, right? And it took Carol listening, right? She had to hear God. And then she had to make a choice after she heard God to follow God. And she did. It was amazing. Am I like totally echoing right now? No. Just up here. Oh, it's these things echoing back at me. Nice. Okay. So anyhow, before time is short, we've packed a lot in today, but I just want to share a couple things with you guys. But before I do, we have another video for you guys to watch. This is Memorial Day weekend, and it would be wrong of us not to go ahead and honor that right here. So go ahead and watch the video, and then I'll be back. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, as we remember and honor those that have fallen. Lord, we remember and we honor the sacrifices that were made, God, not just for this country, God, but for each one of us individually as part of that country. God, we remember their families, we remember the suffering and the pain, Lord, that they've gone through, having lost people. God, I do pray, Lord, that today would be a day of honor. Or this weekend, excuse me, would be a day of honor. Yeah, that as we encounter family and friends, Lord, that have experienced that loss and that pain, Lord, that we would take a moment, go out of our way to just say thank you, that their sacrifice was not in vain. Thank you, Jesus. In name, amen. So in light of Memorial Day, oftentimes, you know, we do things and we have, you know, people stand that are in armed forces and so forth. It's not what it's about, right? That's Veterans Day. Memorial Day is about remembering the sacrifice that was given of the people that aren't here today. And so as you go about this weekend, just keep that in mind. It's the loss that we're remembering and honoring. And not just the loss, but what we've gained as a result of that loss.
So, why did they do it? Why would these brave young men, women, give it all? You know, we were searching through different sort of videos and so forth to find something to bring to you guys. And one common theme kept coming up, and you have Bibles there, you can go ahead and turn to them. I'm going to say they're not going to be on the screen. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Well, did they lay down their lives for their friends? Yeah, they did. Did they lay down their lives for their country? Yeah, they did. What was their motivation? Why did they do it? Were they afraid? Did they have fear when they went to it? And how did they overcome those fears? Well, start thinking about this and start reading the Bible, because that's our source for everything, right? Whether you're saved or not, the Bible is the authority. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's true. Amen. So, greater love hath none than this, than a man laid down his life for his friend. They lived it out. They did it. They may not have known the Lord, they were doing it. They were living that out. Whether it be a love of self, whether it be a love of family, whether it be a love of country, it was in love. Maybe it was a love of self-preservation, right? There was love behind what they were doing. Well, what about the fear? 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. How did they get beyond their fear? Maybe, just maybe, it was that love pushing them forward, right? Something greater to get past the fear. Because otherwise you get captive to the fear. I tell this to my kids all the time. Kids tend to have crazy fears sometimes. And it's one of those things where I remind them, don't let that fear take grip of you. Don't let that fear control you. That fear, if that fear owns you, it's going to affect your life. You're going to miss out on so much because of that fear. Fear is a dangerous thing, but perfect love casts it out. You know, I'm relating these things to Memorial Day, but these truths are so much deeper than that when you start applying them to your faith, when you start applying them to your walk with Jesus, right? Perfect love casts out all fear. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I don't have to be afraid. Why? Love. Not a love of this world, not a love in the sense that man understands love, but in perfect love. We do amazing things. Look at what is done in imperfect love. There was a quote in one of the videos I was looking at, and it had to do with this concept of fear and courage. Joshua 1, verse 8. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Back it up to the military here. Whether they're fighting for God, fighting for family, fighting for country, how can they be courageous? How can they conquer that fear and go out boldly? How can they do it? Well, for the United States of America, it's pretty easy to say when I'm in the military, I've got the mightiest military in the world behind me. I go into battle, yeah, it's a scary place. I'm gonna win. In a way. Maybe it's all the training that you've been through. You've gone through so much before you get to that point. You can be courageous. You can get past the fear. What drives a man to charge out in the face of fire? What drives a man to do that? Fear? Courage? What drives us to be bold and courageous? What drove our missions team to get past their fears? To go halfway, all the way around the world. To do something that so many people are afraid of to do right here in their own town. went and did it. So often, we get into the grip of fear. But then we are able to find that courage. And that courage is often driven by, one, we know who goes with us. Two, we have a love that is inexpressible and stronger than any fear. Finally, remembering. That's what we're doing, right? Memorial Day, we're remembering them. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 26. You guys hear it often, actually, here. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Remember, right? Remembrance, proclaim, take action. Friday nights, Tom mentioned it, we have praise and worship night. It's going to be, we're going to keep doing it. And it's always going to be different. We're always looking at, how can we get into our community? How can we just bless them? How can we get people to see Jesus and worship? And that's one method. One of the stations we have during praise and worship is a station called Stones of Remembrance. And what I encourage people to do on those nights is go over there, read the plaque that I have there, which gives you the scripture behind what we're doing, and then grab a stone. Write on that stone. Take it home with you. Set it somewhere we're going to see it, and then remember. Why? I'll give you some background. Samuel. Prophet Samuel used stones as a memorial when God's people wanted to remember his goodness and his faithfulness. 1 Samuel 7:12 says that when God enabled the Israelites to defeat the Philistines, the prophet Samuel took a stone, named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." Joshua also used stones to help God's people remember his goodness. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites experienced the power of God to roll back the waters of the Jordan, enabling them to cross over and take possession of the promised land. Joshua then commanded them to build a memorial of stones as a public testimony. A public testimony of what God had done for them. Not what they had done. A testimony of what God had done for them. Stones that would remind them to keep on praising him. Joshua chapter 4, "Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you shall say, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off.' So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." We memorialize these men. Why do we do it? To remember them. To remember the sacrifice. To honor them. Why would we do that? Do you not realize that everything that you have in America came at a cost? It came at a price? We say our faith, you were bought at a price, right? Jesus bought each one of you guys, right? A cost beyond measure. How precious is that? And then in this country, your life is paid for at a price. The blood of men giving you the freedoms that we have today. What do we do with that freedom? Do we remember the freedom we have, or do we squash it? You know, one of our freedoms is to do what our missions team just did. Open our mouth. And it's the easiest freedom we have to use. Speak. Speak. You have the freedom to be a Christian. You have the freedom to live out loud your faith. You don't have to hide it. Well, how do we get these freedoms? We remember the sacrifices. And we remember their sacrifice, but we also recognize it wasn't just men. Whenever I'm saying think of men, think of God. God's ultimately sovereign and control of everything. But he uses men. We're talking, and I'm going to make it quick because I know we're running out of time. We're starting this series about doctrine, right? And the doctrine of fear and the doctrine of comfort. That's the first topic that we're talking about. And Mark broached the subject. One of the things I wanted to really talk about and kind of clarify or cause you guys to think about when it comes to those doctrines is, where do we get them? Where do we get doctrine from? You know, you hear there's catechisms, we did the Apostles' Creed, there's Nicene Creeds. You know, people tell you know, churches, this is our statement of faith, right? You're told all the time what you're supposed to believe. It's your doctrines. We're telling you, this is truth. Well, where are we getting that from? Where do you get your doctrine from? Do you get your doctrine just because I come up here and tell you or recite the creed and say he ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God? Okay. What does that mean to you? Keep this in mind as you're living your life in this world. I'm going to read some scriptures to you and then think about where we get our doctrines from. Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This is what we live in today. This is our generation. This is our culture. Exchanging truth for a lie. Gathering teachers, pastors, churches around us to tell us what we want to hear. If you get up as a pastor into a large mega church, say, and I'm going to pick on it for a little bit, a large mega church, and you start talking pure truth to these people, you may not be pastor long there. Why? Well, he's making me uncomfortable. He's kind of speaking to my life. I have to change. I don't want to change. New pastor. And then you tell that pastor, when you're here, you don't talk about money. Don't you talk about it, because it makes someone uncomfortable. Don't do it. If you do it, you're out. We'll get a new pastor. Come on, guys. What is sound doctrine? Where is sound doctrine found? The Word of God. The Word of God. That is our source. And you have to know the Word of God. If I just tell you, it is by grace you have been saved. And then I go, what is grace? And you look at me with a blank stare. But you're telling me it is by grace you've been saved. Well, if you don't know what grace is, then how do you know what saved you? You know, it's one thing to be told the doctrine. That's a starting point. Now get into the Bible. Study it. Learn it. Know what it means, because otherwise you're just drifting around up there, and the next pastor that comes, or the next teacher that comes around, or the next denomination that starts and forms is going to tell you something different. And you're going to go, well, that makes sense. And I kind of like that. So I'm going to run after that. When what you ought to be doing is looking at the Word of God. Amen. What does God say? And know it. How do we accomplish this? 2 Timothy 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead,
and by his appearing as a kingdom, preach the word, be ready. Be ready in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Back it up a little, chapter 3. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. How do we give a defense if we don't know what it says? How do we go into the world and say, this is what you need to believe, if we don't even know why we believe it ourselves? We're going to be talking about doctrines of fear, doctrines of comfort. Get into your Bibles. We're going to give you the starting points. This is the doctrine. Now go to it. Learn it. Know it. And then share it. Because there's a lot of people, a lot of smart people out there, way smarter than me. Not as smart as Jason, but smarter than me. And they're going to say something, and you're going to go, I'm never opening my mouth again. You know? Because you're not going to know. You're going to get stumped. I say that, don't be afraid to be stumped either. Don't let that ever stop you from opening your mouth. I don't care if you throw a stumper at me. I'm quite comfortable and confident in my faith to say I don't know. But I still believe. And I'm going to go and I'm going to figure it out. So wrapping it all up, where's your faith grounded? You come up, Chad. Where's your faith grounded? You know, where are you going to find your truth and your doctrine? Are you going to be strong and courageous in the word as God calls us to be? How are we going to honor the freedom that we have? The freedom that came at that price. We can be lazy and just start, you know, we'll let the pastor tell us what we got to believe. And then we'll just go believe it. Or we can take that extra step and go, okay, thanks, pastor. Tell me more. Thanks, pastor. Point me in a direction so that I can dig deeper. So I can really understand what these beliefs are. So I can really understand what it means to be saved. Maybe this is the first time you guys have even thought about that. I don't know. I was pastoring at a church in California, and I remember they had a young adults group that I was leading there, and it was 40, 50 young adults. And we're there, we were meeting at one of the pastor's houses, and all these people are there, we're just sitting on couches, we're just lounging. And I start talking, and I ask those questions, what's grace? What's mercy? And I had 50 blank stares coming back at me. And I lost my mind. And then I had to say sorry to some people because I lost my mind. Because I said, how can you say you're a Christian and not know these things? You've been going here your whole life. And you don't even know the very fundamentals of why you're saved. Or how you're saved. Maybe you're not saved. You don't know. I'd hate for that to be here. I want all of you to know and have confidence in your calling, in your election, in your salvation. Because when you're confident, you can be courageous. When you're confident, you don't have to be afraid. You understand the love. So if you don't know, man, don't walk out of here today not knowing. Talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Jason. You guys have leaders here in this church that love each and every one of you. Talk to them. Don't let pride ever get in the way. Don't let saying, I really don't get it,
and I don't know what they're gonna think of me. Get in the way. Father, what an amazing morning, hearing all about what you're doing. From the least to the greatest. Seeing these children become men and women. I got to witness a special time, Noah becoming a man, saying, I'm going to stand for you. Seeing this weekend, your people just pouring love out in downtown Boise for something way greater than any one of us. And coming here now today and hearing Tom and the rest of the team tell us about the amazing things they did around the world in your name. You're moving. All of this is with your power, by your power, and without your power, it's not possible. God, I pray that we would have a passion and a heart and desire to truly understand, to know you, to love you, to serve you, to want all of that. And then in wanting it and finding it, because you promise and you've given us everything that we need to know. After we find it, taking it out of here and sharing it. You haven't called us to be cowards. You called us to be strong, bold, and courageous for your name. May we live up to that calling. And maybe the strongest thing that we do is to get down to our knees and say, I don't know. God, if there's anybody here that doesn't know, Lord, God, plant that seed in their mind. Let it just eat at them. Don't let them sleep. May it torture their soul until they find the peace that they need. And that's found in you. Only in you. You gave it all. We memorialize these men, but you gave it all for us. And all that you ask of us is to believe. To recognize we need you and come to you with hearts open, on our knees, saying, I need you, Jesus. Save me. Save me, Jesus. I want you to be Lord of my life right now. I'm tired of living a lie. I'm tired of living a religion. I want it to be real. Save me, Jesus. And empower me. Teach me. Grow me. To be a man and a woman of you. And Jesus, you promise us that if we just do that, we're new. Brand new. Been born again. The old is gone. And we can walk in that freedom. And we can have that assurance. And Lord, so I ask that if anyone here has heard these words, has said those words, has that yearning for you, God, that they would have the comfort to know that they belong to you now. We love you, Jesus. We love you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The worship team's going to go ahead and sing a song. If you guys want to worship with us, that'd be incredible. It's 12:40. If you got a bolt, you guys are free to go.
The wind of your spirit, now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love, we feel the wind of your spirit. feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. We feel the rain of your love. We feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. Now the heartbeat of death.